Hey, welcome into the Orange 13 podcast, episode number 7. Back in the studio with Josh and our friend JoJo. He's back as well. Hey. We've got a great episode today, at least we hope.
Yeah.
We're going to be kicking around the idea of perspective, changing the camera angle. And so if you want to interact with us, you can check out the blog. You can jump on our Twitter. Instagram is coming. If it's not already here, obviously, there's an email. We've had great reviews, great conversations with some fans. We have some fans, I believe, out there. It's starting to kind of pick. Your wife. She's a big fan. Some couple former students of mine. Yeah. It's just fantastic. So
don't forget about iTunes.
Oh, yeah. What's that? What's that?
So we're iTunes? On iTunes
What's
now.
What's this iTunes you speak of?
You can go on the podcast, search for Orange 13, and subscribe.
So, yeah, today on our Orange 13 podcast, like I said, we're going to be talking about perspective, a new camera angle. And here I'd like to start with a little story. This is a few years old. I was headed out to a backpacking trip to Arizona, right? So I was backpacking in the Grand Canyon. So we flew into Arizona, got into my buddy Jay's sister's Jeep, and we drove to the canyon. And after a long off-road bumpy ride, it was great. It was just bumpy the whole way. We get to our destination, our trailhead, and we step out of the Jeep, and we walk up to the edge, and it was breathtaking. Like they say, you know, you heard it say that, but it actually happened. Like I could not speak. It was just majestic and awesome and beautiful, and it's just something you have to experience. So if you're out there and you've never been, you considered going, you should check it out. It is amazing. So after we kind of woke up from the trance of staring into this, it just seemed like it was never ending. His sister took off. She was going to hike by herself, which is not recommended. So this is not a recommendation, but that's what happened. And then my buddy and I, we grabbed our gear and maybe 20 minutes behind her, we took off. And so we're hiking. And one of the things we quickly realized was hiking in the Grand Canyon is very different than in the woods. In the woods, you can see the trail. It's pretty much there the whole time. In the Grand Canyon, everything is rocks. And eventually, it all just kind of blurs together. And so we quickly lost the trail. And we weren't lost. We knew we were in the Grand Canyon, right? We weren't lost. We're good to go.
But you knew that.
Exactly. We knew we were in the Grand Canyon. We knew we were in Arizona. But we had to pull out the map, get a little compass where we're going. We finally kind of got back on track, refound the trail, as they say, and had our stuff. And so we kept going. So at one point we thought, well, we'll bump into his sister at some point on this trail. We'll probably meet up with her. She was going to stop. We were just kind of camped together. And so we kept going. Didn't find her. I mean, we could see pretty far down the trail, too. We still didn't see her. So at that point, some concern set in, like, where is she? Did she get lost? Is she okay? Maybe we're still lost and we don't know we're lost. things started happening. And then it started to get dark. And instead of doing the smart thing of stopping, which is wise to do when you're hiking in the Grand Canyon and there's a cliff next to you, we kept going with our headlamps in the dark. Fantastic. Ooh. This is not a prescriptive podcast.
I would never do this.
This is just a story.
Yeah, horrible.
This
sounds
is just a story.
Absolutely terrible.
It was amazing, but at the same time, it was very scary.
Terrifying.
So at some point, it gets pitch black. We just have our headlamps. We've lost the trail again because we just can't see anything. And so finally, we still haven't found his sister, but we gave up. We had to stop. Jumped in our tent. That was the coldest night. It was like 16. Just a great. Anyway, this is epic adventure. And so it was still concerned. We hadn't found her yet. So we get up in the morning, and we find out we had kind of gone up off the trail. We were probably 1,000 feet above where we were supposed to be. I don't know how we got off that far, but we did.
Whoa.
And so what the cool part was is when I walked over and I'm looking down, it was just like somebody drew a line in the sand. We could see the trail. Boom, there it was. As clear as day. There's the trail. That's where we're supposed to be. And so the moral of that story is we found a sister. Everybody's good. Put my feet in the Grand Canyon. It was wonderful. Or in the Colorado River. It was awesome. But perspective, once we got high enough, once we got enough distance, we could see where we were supposed to be. And so this whole episode is kind of talking about perspective or using a new camera angle. Seeing with new eyes can open us up to new worlds. And so this idea of perspective and camera angles is important, because when we're dealing with topics that we've talked about and what we will talk about in the Orange 13 podcast, mental health, sexuality, sexual orientation, faith, the church, the Bible, how we approach it, heaven and hell, all those subjects are in the arena of competing ideas. And many of the bedrock beliefs are kind of, they're being reexamined. They're being questioned in new ways that we've never questioned them before. New ways of thinking through these things are kind of popping up. The internet is opening up things to new ideas and more accessibility of thoughts and other how other people approach things. And so, and this isn't new, but I think that the level of it, the number of people that are going through these things is pretty high. So when you guys think about perspective or changing the camera angle, and we think about all the things that we've talked about and we hope to talk about, how does that hit you when you think through what other people bring to the table?
I think it's this idea of fear sometimes, where people don't know. They may have questions, they may have perspectives, and we're so used to a certain way of hearing it, whether from our parents or from a pastor or a teacher, whatever. We're kind of afraid, at least for me, when I think about that kind of idea, is that the whole idea of I'm afraid to doubt because what if I'm wrong? Or what if it's not what everyone thinks and I'm just seen as this crazy person that's had the idea for the first time? And it's like whenever people in history, or whether it's in church or about religion in general, or whatever the topic may be, when someone has a new idea, there's always a hesitation. So I think we can come to that person and say, this is a safe place, it's okay. That's where it all starts for me, is making sure they feel okay to share their thought, and that there's no judgment, there's no this is wrong or this is right. This is, I just want to hear your thought. I want to understand how you got here. I want to hear your story. So I think once we start to let that happen, I think that can be the first step to hearing just like other people's perspectives and stories, and trying to understand how they got there and what that means for them.
That's good. Josh, what do you think when you consider perspective or a new camera angle, when you interact with folks, what, especially in your class, you know, you've mentioned there's various, various differences in that, you know, with those people you've been taking class with. How does that work for you?
Yeah. So, I think when people bring new things to the table, kind of what Josiah is saying, there's that aspect of fear, but there's also a great chance to learn something new as well. And so for me, it's like my big thing, just a season of my life right now, is that I'm trying to look at different perspectives, angles that are not my own. And so even for me, it's like, okay, what goes in the mind of someone who even just is racist? Like, I mean, just out there marching, things like that. I actually follow this guy, and I mean it's called Vice News, and he goes out and he speaks to people who are neo-Nazis, you know, far right, things like that, but just kind of getting the perspective of like how did you get here, and so instead of just making like, hey, like prejudgments, like let me actually sit down, hear what they have to say, whatever. But I think even if you don't agree with it necessarily, it's always a great way to learn. And I think once we, if we get into the mindset or the mode of like, oh, I know this, or, oh, I know everything, then we miss out on a beautiful chance to get to know something new. And I'm always trying to learn something new, no matter what it is. Even if I don't agree with it, like, I still want to, like, I'm open to learning something new. And so being in this class that I'm in right now, there are things that I just plain out just don't agree with. But I also get to hear so many different people's experiences and their past and the way that they were brought up. We have people who come from Cuba. My last class, we get to hear from someone who grew up Native American and on in a reservation. And so their experiences are completely different than mine. But I love just sitting down and getting to know and hearing someone's different perspective on all sorts of different issues.
Yeah, it's really good. You kind of point out there's a few ways to consider if we want to kind of at least enter into somebody else's perspective or change our camera angle just to, like you said, to learn or to even consider like what they're saying. I like what you said. You guys both kind of you hear their story or number one, use a new lens. Mm-hmm. So you try to get behind what glasses are they looking through, yeah. and those glasses yeah. are made up of their history, mm-hmm. their upbringing, their mm-hmm. all the lessons they've learned, and it's so important. The other thing I'd like to I like to think through is okay, how do we slow down? And yeah. I think one of you guys said sometimes we hear something and it goes against something that's already ingrained in us, and we just think wrong, dumb, you're stupid. Mm-hmm. Instead of slowing down and be like, okay, let me hear more. Mm-hmm. Let me hear what you're saying. Let me understand where you're at, how you yeah. got there. Walk me through your process of belief yeah. or unbelief or whatever you're talking about.
Yeah.
And so I think the slowing down is good. The story kind of gives us this idea of, you know, we step back or step forward or step up, you know, new perspective. Maybe we need to step back a little bit and be like, okay, let's look at this. Or we need to step into it further, maybe even going, like in college I had to go to different for a lot of my religion classes, it was always like some kind of excursion, go to a Jewish church yeah. Or a synagogue, I should say, or yeah. a Catholic or some other religion other mm-hmm. than you. And so I went to the fraternity house once because it's kind of a religion. There's yeah. a lot of worshiping the porcelain god there. So I went to the fraternity house a couple times.
Yeah.
And I think another good question is it working? Mm-hmm. You know, I think... We that's kind of the pragmatic view of truth. One of the only American born and bred views or theories of truth is pragmatism. You know, is it working pragmatically? Yeah. Is this working? And be mm-hmm. honest with ourselves. Mm-hmm. You know, if your perspective is A and it's like leading you to death, it's probably not working very well. Or if your approach to people is very rigid or very closed off or closed minded, that's not working because you're a jerk.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, and then I love it. You know, talk to people who are different than you. Mm-hmm. I love that. I love to listen and learn. And I think you guys kind of hit it. There's fear. Anytime we're introduced to something new or different, there's fear. There's this, well, maybe I'm wrong. What if I'm wrong? Mm-hmm. So there's some insecurity in there. Mm-hmm. And that's never a great way to put forth your truth because you're insecure. You fear that you could be wrong mm-hmm. or they could mm-hmm. be right. Mm-hmm. I don't know what people are more afraid of, right. that they're yeah. wrong or that somebody else is right.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on your personality. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
that's well, then deal. That breaks down if you're introduced to something that totally against something that you grew up to know. I mean, kind of it's world shattering too, you know? And so mm-hmm. it's kind of like, oh, I've had this safety of being in my glass bubble or whatever. And this is all that I knew. Mm-hmm. And so for someone to come and like shatter that for you, that's terrifying, you know? And I almost think of just kind of like with Jesus, when he's talking to the Jews, like he's like, hey, like, you know, we were talking about the Good Samaritan last night, and for them to hear that the Samaritan was like the hero of the story, that would have shattered their world, you know, because these are the people who are unworthy to even belong in the temple. And like, I just imagine that that's like someone like a Jewish prisoner, you know, showing compassion to a Nazi. And for them to hear that, like for them, for the first time.
Right.
And from a person like a teacher, it's like, oh my gosh, you're literally sweeping the rug from underneath our right. feet, and now you have to tell me I have to love these people. Like,
yeah,
it's just it takes away the safety net of your little world. And I think it's so cool. My sister is experiencing. I tell her all the time, like, travel as much as you can. Like, I wish I would have, but like, get different worldviews and different experiences. And like, she wasn't going to church here in, you know, Fort Wayne, Indiana, but she's attending church every Sunday and in France, you know, because mm-hmm. it's like something new, something she gets mm-hmm. to experience. And so, yeah.
Okay, good. I love those thoughts. Let's shift to this. So one of the camera angles or the perspective is this lens that sometimes people see through the perspective of that if you have a doubt or a struggle, somehow that means you are not enough. You don't whatever enough, blank enough. You don't pray enough. You don't read the Bible enough. You don't go to church enough. You don't eat your vegetables enough because that's important. And sometimes it just means they kind of take that if you have questions or doubt or you're just kind of seeking, that somehow that means your faith is weak or you're not committed or you don't love Jesus enough or God, or maybe you're broken or there must be sin in your life if you have these kinds of questions. It's that same old crap of either you have sin in your life or you don't have your belief furniture organized. Mm. You don't have the right theology. Do you guys experience that? I mean, you work with teenagers. I've worked with some students. You guys see that with students? You see some of that? Yeah. I'm not enough.
Yeah.
Enough? I'm not enough enough?
Sad. Yeah. I think that just runs through, especially I think in your teenage, like young adult years of just, I mean, actually, I guess even just with some adults, like the angle of being like, if I only had this, my ducks in a row, then I'd be this, you know? And it's never just like, I'm content in this, where I am. Like, it's not, and I'm just like, when I was kind of wrestling with my faith, I felt very isolated, and I felt like, oh my gosh, everyone else is really good Christians, like, and they seem to have all their ish together. I said ish, not the other word, but you PG here. It just made me feel isolated, and then that I was wrong, and like I was like that Jesus didn't love me. If I were to question or to doubt, I had a lot of questions, and I had very hard questions. But then the answer for me was like, your faith's not strong enough, or you don't believe enough. And I'm like, okay, what? Like, that doesn't make sense to me. And so I'd read the scriptures, and I'd read how, you know, Jesus went, like, you know, doubting Thomas, he got that name, but I don't think necessarily because of like, it's bad, but it was more of like, I need to see Jesus. Like, I need to see those hands. I need to see that flesh wound. I need to see those. And Jesus didn't, like, you know, come down on him with the wrath of heaven. He was just like, here it is. Like, but we make it seem like this such, like, I remember when I was here and we talked about doubt with the students for the first time, it blew their minds. Like, they were like, you can't doubt. That's wrong, blah, blah, blah. And I was just like, why? Like, doubt, asking good questions leads you into having a better belief right. system, you know, because that way, you know, you can be like, oh, I've been there and I've seen that and I understand that, you know, I might not be there yet, but like, I know how to wrestle through these questions well. And I think we have to start encouraging that with everyone. Like, you know, like, it's okay to wrestle. It's okay right. to doubt. It's like, but I keep asking good questions, like keep doing that. But yeah.
Yeah,
that's good. Judge, what you got?
I think personally for me, I've grown up in the church. I've gotten Sunday school. I've done all the stuff, you know, that Christians see that you should do, or I guess that I've been told to do and stuff like that. Not that it's bad, but I've always been a person that either a small group leader or the pastor and youth group would come to me and say, hey, you're a great kid. Can you set the example? I would be like the really good kid that followed the rules, that like they would use me as an example, which as I'm not trying to put myself above, but it was
don't
always,
worry, we'll knock you down if you don't.
I probably need it sometimes, but the idea where I never had a chance to like feel that I could express doubt or feel that I could express that I was struggling with something. And it took me a while, even in my small group in high school, to open up, because I'm like, I'm supposed to be the role model for other students. I'm supposed to be the small group leader for these middle school students. I'm supposed to be this person that, I don't know, to me, the way I perceive things, I never had a chance to express that I'm struggling with this or that. But once I actually figure out that like that's not true, like I started to open up more, and that actually helped me lead better. That actually helped me understand students better, helped me relate to people better. So It was definitely a process through my high school years. A lot of times that was a wrestle. But now being a youth pastor, that looking back, that actually helped that level of doubt. And even now, as I'm learning more scripture, as I'm learning more perspectives on certain scripture, it's really helping me see more clearly and just to embrace that, you know, it's really dumb, but like John 3:16, that's it right there. Like Jesus came for the whole world. Jesus came for whoever will receive him. And so that's where it starts. And then we can get into the heavier theological stuff later and ask hard questions. But for my salvation, for my acceptance into his kingdom, I just got to believe in him. You know, that's where I got to start. And so, yeah.
Yeah.
One more thing just about like not being good enough. I think the funny thing about just Jesus is that we were never like good enough, but he still loved us through that. And that's the thing.
The only thing that matters.
Exactly. And he was good enough. And then so it's like when I believed, but when I begin to put my trust in that, and knowing like, dude, it's not about me ever being good enough. It's just not like, who am I putting my trust in? Because like, if I keep placing myself on that, like, oh, I got to be good, I got to do this, I got, it's like, you're going to keep chasing these, mm-hmm. you're chasing the wind. And mm-hmm. I think that was the whole purpose when Jesus was with his disciples. They're trying to be just like good enough. Like, oh, we're going to be the best. Like, we're going to send you right and left hand, like blah, blah, blah. And Jesus is like, yeah. You guys are missing it. Like, you'll never be good enough, mm-hmm. like, but I am. So just follow what I'm doing, man, and you'll figure it out, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's just the beauty of our faith is that I can have that peace that transcends under all understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we use that verse all the time, but mm-hmm. the verse is like about you're not good enough. You're not in control. And so just have peace in knowing that someone who is better than you, who created the cosmos is, you know? Yeah. And I think that's so beautiful about the gospel and everything. So. Yeah,
that's really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. When you look at the scriptures and you talk about trust, it just seems like it's filled with people whose trust just would get rocked
mm-hmm.
in various ways. And not because they weren't good enough or they were not anything enough and they did something wrong or right. It was just life just happens sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think it's so important that as people who are, if we coined that, I don't remember who coined this phrase, but faith seeking understanding, I think it's so important that we encourage people to use a new lens.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every now and then, to really look through a different lens, whatever that might be. Maybe your neighbor, or maybe it's another religion, like how would they look at what I'm saying right now? Or maybe it's a good way to, okay, slow down when I hear something I don't agree with. Slow down, let me think through that a little bit. Or maybe it's time for us to step back or step forward or step up, get a new perspective, a new angle, however that works, like kind of re-look at that another time and then ask, okay, what am I doing now? Is it working? You know, we got to ask those things and then talk to people who are different than you. I think all of us are going to go through a phase or a time where we have doubts and we have struggles and we have questions. But I think those things are good to do. It's where growth happens. It makes it real.
Yeah.
And we're not always, and it's okay to not completely align with the great Christian theologians of the world, right?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
They're going to have, C.S. Lewis had very different thoughts than some of the guys today, but he's held really high, which he's great. But
that still doesn't make sense to me, but.
Exactly. But I think as you guys work with students and even young adults and even some adults, I think there's a lot of repressed hurt mm-hmm. there because they could never really deal with those doubts well. And all the things that I've read is dealing with doubts is huge, high mm-hmm. on the list
mm-hmm.
of helping students have lasting faith. It's so important to mm-hmm. do that.
Do you think that, like, as a church, we've opened up a culture to begin to just, I mean, just in your vast amount of years of...
What was that?
your wealth of knowledge.
What was that last part?
It's vast. It's huge. Yeah, it's okay. Long.
Sure,
it's,
sure.
Like just for you, where you've been at, like, do you feel like the church has, and we're not harping on it, but like has a culture of you know, of, hey, like, this is a culture where you're allowed to doubt, or you're allowed to question, or you're allowed to wrestle? Or do you feel like it's been more of a kind of like just fall in line and just kind of keep going, you know, keep going against the grain? I mean, you're the one who told me, which shaped my world. Jesse Hanna reshaped my whole, you know, faith by just a couple of words. Now he's like, look nervous. No, and then you remember, I mean, I came up to you and I was like, dude, I think, you know, God's love language is obedience. You're like, nah, man, like, I think God, you didn't even say that. I think you're just kind of like, well, I think God's love language is, you know, trust, you know, and that kind of like blew my mind. And I was like, oh my gosh, he's 100% right. And I've been looking at it, and so, and that's why I feel like I kept chasing things. I'm like, I gotta be obedient. But like, do you feel like we've opened up a culture of, it's just you be obedient and then that's it? Or like, do you feel like it's a culture of like wrestle, doubt, question, trust? You know what I'm saying? So what do you feel?
I think there's probably pockets where it is safe to do that, but I don't think it's very large pockets or very, I don't think it's everywhere. I think there's still that. Anytime you put your beliefs on a piece of paper and put them on the internet and say, this is it, it just seems like, I don't know if I'm allowed to ask some questions about those things. Am I allowed to ask those questions? Am I not allowed to ask those questions? And a lot of times, some of the questions we have, there just aren't answers.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the religious professionals get a little nervous, because they don't want somebody to leave the faith because of this question. But what happens is, by not answering it, or at least entertaining the questions, we kind of stifle this growth, and it just kind of shuts it down. And there's no, it just stops. So either they just kind of sit on that forever, but eventually it's going to come out somewhere. It has to.
Yeah.
So I think there's pockets. I think youth ministry over the last 5 to 10 years has done a remarkable job at moving that needle. They've always kind of been on the edge of that stuff, but I think that's huge, allowing students to ask good questions and deal with doubt. But there still are some who say you should not doubt, it's a sin to doubt, which is just sad, because what the heck?
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, that's no good. That's no bueno. Yeah. It's no good. Yeah. So I think it's hit or miss.
I don't.
But I'm glad that you guys have the ability to change that a little bit with the students, you know, where you guys work, and I think it's good.
I think there's something to be said about the idea of that, what you were saying about just obeying and putting your head down versus doubting. But I think there's a fine balance. Like, that's why we have faith. I think there, faith has room for those questions and good questions, and you're going to seek, I don't know if you're going to find definite answers all the time, but you're progressing to know Jesus more. And so I think that's where that's healthy and that's fine. It's like, that's part of being a believer. I mean, we don't definitely know all the answers, and we won't be revealed all the answers until that day comes that we're face to face with Jesus. And so that's where I'm at with that.
Okay, perspective, new camera angle, seeing with new lenses, slowing down, stepping back or up. Is it working? Talk to people who are different than you. Wherever you're at and wherever you find yourself in this life, or whether you have faith or you don't have faith, and maybe you have some questions and you feel guilty because you have the questions or the doubts, don't. It's normal. It's healthy to have those questions. I just hope that you will seek out somebody who you can ask, regardless of your background or your history or your lifestyle. Those questions are good. They can lead to new worlds, new eyes, leads to open up new worlds for us. And so challenge yourself to think through other people's perspectives. Be open. Open your mind just a little bit. So you're not so quick to say no and say that's dumb and that's wrong, but talk to people, open up, listen, and hear with new ears and new eyes. So this is the Orange 13 Podcast. Thanks for listening. guys, thanks for being here.
Yeah.
All right.
Awesome. Peace out.
See ya.
And we'll see you next time. Thank you.